Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Reish Hashanah Chav Tes. We begin on the very bottom line of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Amalei Rab Zera L'Shami. Rab Zera turns to his attendant, his shamas, who happened to be his Baal Teikeya. And he says to him, Ichavin, have kavona, have me in mind, with Kali, when you blow for me, says Rashi on the top line. Ichavin utkali, tiskavin litkoya bishmi, have me in mind, loitzi eini yidei chayivasi. It's pretty clear that Rab Zera disagrees with Rava, so learn some Rishonim, as opposed to Rava who says, mitzvah is ein tzrichos kavona. Having that kavana, having in mind to be yetzei, is not a prerequisite for the kima mitzvah. Rab Zera disagrees. You need kavana to be yetzei mitzvah. Not only that, if one is blowing for somebody else, he has to specifically have him in mind. I'm going to be mitzi. I'm going to be exempting you. Says the Gemara. Al-Makosavar, apparently Rab Zera holds, mashmiya ba'i kavana. The one who blows the shofar has to have kavanah. He has to have the listener in mind. Otherwise, he's not going to be yaitse by just listening to me. Meisve. We have a kasha from our Mishnah, which says, Hayayver achayr besakneses. This fellow is passing behind the shul. Ay, shahayya beisoy somacha besakneses. Or, his home happened to be near the shul. Vishama kol shofar, ay kol megillah. He overhears sound of a shofar coming on Rosh Hashanah, or sound of the Megillah being read on Purim. Well, it depends. Im kivin li b'yatza. He has a mind to be yaitzei. He's yaitzei. Vim lav l'yatza, but otherwise he's not yaitzei. Let's stop for a second. V'chei kivin li b'yayavi. What gain is there by just being mechaven to be yaitzei? Hayich loika mechaven. The one reading the Megillah, blowing the shofar, didn't have you in mind. You weren't even there. If the blower needs to have him in mind, you don't have it in this case. It's a kashan Rab Zera. Hocha b'shliach tzibur askina. We're speaking that a shliach tzibur is doing the blowing. He's a public figure. The da'ati akuli amma. He has everybody in mind. And therefore, there's nothing lacking. Toshma. Listen to this next rite. A brisa says like this. Niskavin shemea. We had this yesterday. Niskavin shemea. The blower had in mind. Niskavin shomea, the listener has in mind. Niskavin mashmia, but the blower did not have anything in mind. Niskavin mashmia, let's say the blower had in mind to do the mitzvah. Niskavin shomea, but not the listener. Lo yotza. In either case, it doesn't work. Achi niskavin shomea or mashmia. Both the shomea, the listener, and the mashmia, the blower, have to have in mind. Now, when we say kavana, well, what are we referring to? Let's figure this out. Katani mashmia dumi deshemia. The brisa puts together the kavana attributed to the blower next to the kavana attributed to the listener. Right? We put them on the same list. Seems like it's the same issue, the same concern by both. So essentially, the kavana of the shemia and mashmia are referring to the same type of kavana. What is that? Mashmia, just as we speak about the kavana, the mindfulness of the listener, shemia latzmai. What is he thinking? I'm going to be listening. I'm being yaitzei to the mitzvah for myself. It's his personal, private affair. Af mashmia, mashmia latzmai. Likewise, let's assume the brisa speaks about kavana of the mashmia, the blower. We're speaking about personal intent, personal kavana. He has a mind to be yaitzei, mashmia la'atzmai, to blow and to do the mitzvah for himself. Uktani la'yatza. And what does the brisa say? When we lack, when we don't have this intention, he's not yaitzei. But if it's there, the kavanah is present, which kavanah? Let's focus on the mashmia. As long as he has the mitzvah in mind, then one listening to him is yaitzei. You don't need more than that. He doesn't have to have a listener in mind. As long as he's doing a mitzvah and somebody's listening in, that's fine. That's a kashan Rab Zera, who says that you could only be yaitzeh from somebody who has you in mind. Tanoi, indeed, it's a machlekes tanoi. whether or not you have to have the listener in mind. The sanya, shamea shamea la'atzmai. U'mashmia, mashmia lefi darkai. The listener, all he needs to do is listen for himself, I'm be mekayim my mitzvah. The blower, mashmia la'atzmai lefi darkai. Just blow with kavana to be yaitse. By the way, meaning engage in his own personal private affair. At that point, if somebody listens in, it could be yaitse as well. Even though the blower was not aware of the fact that somebody's listening in, and he didn't have him in mind. That's one shita. When does this apply? If he's a shliach tzibur, then he doesn't have to consciously think about every individual on the shul. It's a default assumption that he has everybody in mind. But if he's a private individual blowing, one listening is not going to be yaitze ashiyus kavin shomea mashmia, unless both the listener and the blower have proper kavana, which means that the blower has to have kavana to be mighty the shomea. And this was the shita followed by Rabbi Zera. That's why he tells us Shamas, don't just blow, have me in mind. Continues the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah we discussed one sound of a shofar, which in one case works if you have kavana. In the other case doesn't work if you have no kavana. Same sound. Kavana determines the value of that experience. The Mishnah will cite several more examples where kavana, concentration, focus, changes the entire setting. This was when Yisrael waged war with Amalek. When Moshe Rabbeinu picked up his hands, Klal Yisrael was strengthened. If he laid his hand down, Klal Yisrael was weakened. You mean that Moshe Rabbeinu's outstretched hands add power, make a difference in the war? Or weakens them when his hands are down? How could his hands, the position of his hands, influence the war? Ela leimalach. Rather, we learn a lesson from him. It wasn't just the physical positioning of his hands which affected the progress of the war. It was a spiritual effect taking place. He was inspiring them by keeping up his hands. Kol zman sho Yisrael mistakan klapei mala. As long as his hands were stretched upward, heavenward, which influenced Yisrael, inspired Yisrael to look heavenward and connect to Hashem. U'meshabden es libam l'aviyam shel shamayim. In which case they would submit themselves to Hashem and attribute everything to Hashem, the source of all existence. U'meshabden, at that point, they would be strengthened. They would get special siyata d'shamayim. V'imlav, but otherwise, when his hands were down and they were lacking that source of inspiration, they would be weakened as well. In similar fashion, we learn the next pasuk. Klal Yisrael is being stricken by snakes. Moshe turns to Hashem, help. Hashem says, "Asei lecha sarav." Go ahead and fashion a copper snake, v'sim oisei al neis, and place it on top of a pole. V'hayu kol anoshech, v'ra'a oisei v'chay. If one gets bitten by a snake, he should take a look at the snake up on top of that pole, and he will live. Asks the Mishnah, a snake can influence a person's life? An image of a snake can make a difference? V'chi nochash meimis, do you mean that the nochash brings death? Or nochash machaya, or this copper snake brings life? Elo, rather, it was had a symbolic effect. It was a source of inspiration, which brought about the reform. Elbez manshi Yisrael mistakin klapim mala. Rather, when Yisrael looked heavenward, up towards the snake, which was really a declaration of the fact that snakes are nothing. They're just Hashem's emissaries. They attributed everything back to the source of all existence, Hashem, the source of all goodness. By doing that, by mistakin klapim mala umeshabden es libim labim shashemayim, and going back to their source, doing tshuva, connecting back to Hashem, and placing themselves back in his hands, in his control, hayu misrapin, that would bring the remedy. Vimla, but otherwise, they didn't have that connection to Hashem. Hayu numaykim, they would wither away, they would be affected by earthly creatures such as snakes. Once we speak about being mitzi somebody else, who has the ability to exempt somebody from a mitzvah? Cheresh, a person's deaf. Typically, cheresh in the Mishnah means deaf and dumb. But here when we speak about kiyas shofar, the ability to hear is critical. So in this case, even if he's a partial cheresh, he's just lacking the hearing abilities, he's deaf. He doesn't have the ability to be mitzi somebody in tkiyas shofar because tkiyas shofar is mainly something which is attributed to hearing, l'shmayachol shofar, as we say in the brach. So if he doesn't have that ability, he can't get involved. Cheresh shoyte, somebody mentally unstable, b'katan ein mitzin eserabim dechevasan, they can't exempt others from the rechiv of shofar. Zeklal, as we follow the following rule, which is kol she'einem chiv b'davar, if one doesn't have his own chiv, einem mitzin eserabim dechevasan, he can't blow for somebody else either. Tanur abonan, hakol chayavim b'tkiya shofar. Or are obligated in tkiyas shofar, whether it's kohanim, olavim, v'yisraelim, gerim, v'avadim shachram, released slaves, v'tumtum, a fellow whose simanim are covered up, it's impossible to tell whether he's a zachar or a keva. So although an isha is potter from mitzvah shofar, it's mitzvah sasei shazman grama, but this fellow who is a tumtum is really an unknown, his gender is unknown, and therefore he's chayv in tkiyas shofar just in case he's a zachar. V'adreigenus, likewise a fellow who has both simonim, zachar and a keva, he needs to blow just in case he's really a zachar. Umi shechetzei eved v'chetzei ben chorin. Or a fellow who's half eved, half free. How's that possible? He was owned by two partners, and one of them released him. So now he's half free, but half an eved. He's chayiv in tkiyas shofar. Now, what about being mitzi other people? Tumtum. Eini mitzi lo yasminoi, v'lo yasheinu minoi. This tumtum has a real problem. He can listen from others. He can listen to a baal tekeh, but he can't be mitzi somebody else. You know why? He can't do it not for somebody else who is minay, the same type of tumtum. Why? Because maybe the one blowing is really a zachar, right? His gender is unknown. Maybe the blower is a zachar, and the listener is in a keva, or just the opposite. He's really in a keva underneath that skin coverage. He's really in a keva. And the other fellow who's a tumtum is really a zachar, because a tumtum sometimes can turn out to be a zachar, sometimes in a keva. So therefore, a tumtum cannot be mighty somebody of the same type, v'loy esh'ein minoy. And certainly he can't be mitzi somebody who's unlike him, is somebody who's really a zachar. Because once again, maybe the tumtum is really a nekeva, in which case he's pata from shofar, and doesn't have the ability to be mitzi a zachar. As opposed to an androgynous, he's known, his situation is known, he has both simana, right? So in this case, mitzi es minoy, we have two androgynouses, one of them could be mitzi the other one. Why? Because if an androgynous is considered a zachar, so they're both a zachar. If an androgynous is in the keva, so they're both in the keva. Right? All androgynouses were consistently the same thing. We're not sure how to treat them, but whatever one is, the other one is. So therefore, androgynous is mitzi asmini. He can exempt a fellow who is an androgynous like him, but he can't be mitzi a fellow who is not like him, meaning a fellow who is really a zachar, because perhaps the androgynous is treated halachically like an akeva, in which case he's pata from shofar and cannot be mitzi a zachar. So this is dafka by androgynous, because all androgynous were considered the same type. Either they're all zacharim, all akevas. So miman of shachik, you might see your fellow androgynous, as opposed to a tumtum, which is a real suffix. His simonim are covered up. One fellow could turn out to be a zachar, a fellow in a keva. Therefore, he can't take chances. He can't be mitzi, even a fellow tumtum. Mi shechetzi eved, v'chetzi ben chorin. This fellow was half eved, half ben chorin. Einei mitzi lo yasminoi, v'lo yishenei minoi. This fellow can't be mitzi anybody. He can't be mitzi somebody who's like him. nor can he be mighty somebody who's completely a ben chayr. Why? Rashi says, because this chatzi eved, v'chatzi ben chayr, has an element of avdus in him. He's half eved. So that element of slave within him cannot be used to be mighty somebody else who has an element of chayrus. So even though both these fellows are in the same boat, both half and halves, but each one of them has an element of chayrus, of a full-fledged bar chayuva, which needs to hear to get a shefa from a person who's fully obligated. So now if this chatzi eved and chatzi ben chayr gets up and blows a shefa, he's really one unit comprised of two elements. So truly, the half that's ben chayr could be mighty the other fellow. But the half of himself, the element of avdus within himself, which is pata from shofar, and Evan and Isha have the same halachas, right? The pata from shofar doesn't have the ability to participate in blowing that shofar for the other fellow who needs to address his free side. So your slave side can't address the other person's free side and can't really split the two parts within the person. And therefore, you cannot be moitzi anybody. So chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chayr cannot be moitzi lo yes minay v'lo yesh eni minay. Neither can be moitzi a person like himself, nor a person that's completely a zachar. Amar, let's go back to the price. Hakol chayavim b'tkiyas shofar. Everybody is meant to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael, well, pshita, obviously. Yehani lo mechayvi. If these fellows are not chayv, man mechayvi, then who else is chayv? You've gone through an entire list of Klal Yisrael. Of course they're chayv. Kehanim et strichli. There's an extra chiddush by kehanim. Perhaps I would think they're pata. Why? Sakadai dechamina. Perhaps I would think. Hoyel v'ksiv yoyim etruo yelechem. Rosh Hashanah is a yoyim truo. I would say, man delesei ila betkia dechad yoyim. Somebody who is only chayv to blow once a year. Rosh Hashanah. Who dem chayv? He needs to blow Rosh Hashanah. As opposed to Kayhanim, Hoyl the Isnu Bitkias the Kalashana. Since they're involved in blowing throughout the entire year, when they bring karbanis, the chsiva sakata machat soitzreis, you meant to blow your trumpets in the Migdosh, al oiloy seichem. So perhaps they're engaged in blowing the entire year, emaloy the chaibu, perhaps. They don't need to blow anymore on Rosh Hashanah. If you don't blow the entire year, Rosh Hashanah is your time of blowing. If you're engaged in tkiyas the entire year, perhaps the chiyuv of tkiyah on Rosh Hashanah doesn't apply to you. Kamash Malan, says the Braisa, no, even a kohen is chayv. Midami, how could you compare Rosh Hashanah to the rest of the year, where you're blowing trumpets, not a horn? Hasam chatzaitris. Over there, they're blowing horns. Trumpets. Bachashayv, here it's a horn. What's the connection? Why would I think they're pata for blowing a shayfah just because they blow trumpets? Ella rather Israch the Chiddush by the Kohanim and Levim is as follows. Sakadai dechamina, perhaps I would say, Hoyel Otzinan, since we learned in the Mishnah, Shove Hayyev le Rosh Hashanah le Tkiyo le Brachis. Rosh Hashanah and Yevil go together when it comes to blowing the Shofar, the Brachis, and Shemini Esrei. So we equate the two. Perhaps I would think, man de isei b'mitzvah sayevel. A fellow who's obligated in all the details of yevel, isei b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. He fulfills all mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah as well, as opposed to the kehanim levim. V'hani kehanim levim. Hoy v'lesnu b'mitzvah yevel. Since they're not really fully engaged in the mitzvahs of yevel, this none. We learned in the Mishnah. During the point in history when Yovel was observed, there were all kinds of other halachas as well. You sell a field, you can redeem it, but you have to wait 2 years. Leave it in the hands of the buyer for 2 years, and then you can redeem it. You sell a home in a walled city, you can be paid up until the first year. We have certain halachas and restrictions when it comes to transactions, land transactions, which are somewhat Yovel related, because it was only during the point in history when Yovel was observed. Kayhanim and Levim are exempt from these halachas. It's none. Kayhanim and Levim, Meichrin Olam, V'Goyin Olam, they could sell all the time and redeem all the time. They don't have these restrictions. So perhaps since all details of Yevil don't apply to them. Ema b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah like a chayva. Perhaps they're exempt from the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. They don't need to blow the shofar. Kamash from the chiddush is yes. Everybody's on the same list. Kehanim, Levim, and Israel. We spoke about Misha Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chorin. He's half and half. Einei Moitzi Lo Yisminoi, V'lo Yisheinei Minoi. Rashi explained. The reason is because he has an element of a slave within him, which can't go ahead and be Moitzi, somebody who is a free fellow. Amar Rav Huna, V'lo Atzmei Moitzi. What about if he decides to blow for himself? Can he? Yeah, sure. You can't be mighty to somebody else because your avdus can't be mighty to the other person's chiris. But for himself, after all, he's one unit, he's one person. So he can blow for himself. Apparently Rav Huna holds. It's like the chelik of the chiris will take care of the chelik of the chiris, and the chelik of the avdus will take care of the avdus. They don't interfere. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, no, how could you say that? This fellow has an element of avdus in him. How could he even be mighty himself? Remember, he has a part of chiris within him, which needs to hear from a free man, not an eved. Ma'ishna la'chirim deloy. Why can't he be mighty somebody else? Deloy osi tzad avdus. Umapik tzad chiris. Because the chelik of the eved within him cannot exempt the chelik of the chiris within his fellow half and half friend. Well, la'atzmi nami loy. Osi tzad avdus didei. Umapik Tzad Chayrus today, he blows for himself, you're running into the same problem. Well, he also Tzad Avdus today, the Tzad, the element of Avdus within himself, cannot come along on Mapik Tzad Chayrus today and exempt the free element within himself. Elo Amar of Nachman, Afla Atzmei Emeitzi, he can't even be Meitzi himself, he has to go to Shul, listen to the Shliach Tzibur, Tanya Mehoche, we find the same in the Brais. Misha Chevtzi Eved V'chetzi Ben Chayr, his fellow was half and half. Not only can't he exempt others, afla atzmoi eini motzi. Tony Ava, that was his name, breid Rav Zera. So Ava, the son of Rav Zera, taught us as follows. Kol ha-brachis kulan. When it comes to brachis of mitzvahs, afal pishi yotza motzi. Even if a person already made his bracha, he made it al tkias, shmeichel, shayfar, and he finds somebody who needs a bracha, motzi, he can do it again for that person. Kol Yisrael Raven Zeuze. If that fellow wasn't Yaitze, it's as though you aren't Yaitze. You can do it for him. Even though personally you don't need it. That applies to all Birchas HaMitzvahs. Chutz, except Birchas HaLechem, or Birchas HaYayin, except for Birchas, which are called Birchas HaNenen, HaMaitzi over bread, HaGofen over wine. Shem Lo Yatza Maitzi, if you're still before your Bracha, two people sitting down together to have breakfast, one can make hamaitzi for the other. But v'im yatsa in hamaitzi. If Reuven already made his hamaitzi, you can't repeat it again for Shimon. Why? What's the difference between Birchas Hanenen and Birchas HaMitzvah? Says Rashi, seven lines from the bottom. When it comes to Birchas HaMitzvahs, aval b'shiyatsa maitzi. Shall we call Yisrael Areven? Zebezele mitzvahs. We all have to look out for each other. Responsible for each other when it comes to mitzvahs. You don't have the bracha, I don't have it yet, and I can do it for you. That's my mitzvahs. Chutz mebrichas halachem v'ayayin. Usha brichas peres, v'richni, other brachas on food and smells. Shein in chayva, there's no chiv to make these brachas. Ela she'asur lahanis min oilum hazeh b'lei bracha. By default, you have to make the bracha. You can't enjoy the world without a bracha. Ubezu enkan arvus. Arvus doesn't apply here. She'ein echayv al adam, no chiv to make ha'etz. Loi l'shaniv, loi l'varach. Nobody asked you to have the apple. Don't have the apple, don't make the bracha. True. If he wants the apple, he needs a bracha. But you can't compare it to brichas ha-mitzvahs, which is an absolute chiv. To listen to the shofar, read the Megillah. And therefore, we apply the halacha of kol Yisrael areven zevzeh. I have to look after your chiv as well. Even if I personally don't need the mitzvah or the bracha any longer, but I could do it again for your sake. Continues the Gemara, Boy Rav, what about in the case of Birchas Alechem Shal Matzah? It's Pesach at night, he's going to have his matzah. And can make a bracha al chilas matzah. That's called Birchas HaMitzvahs. But remember, there's another bracha there as well, Amitzi Lechem and Arz, which is technically Birchas HaNen. Could I say it again for you? Ubrichas hayayin shel kiddush hayayim. Mao. Kiddush on Shabbos or Yontif. So we have the brichas hamitzvah, asher kidshanu. We also have the hagafen, plain hagafen, which is technically a brichas hanenin. I already said it. Can I say it again for you? Kivin nechayvahu, mapik. Perhaps since it's part of the obligatory experience of the kiddush or the achilas matzah, I could do it for your sake. Oidimo, perhaps bracha lav chayvahu. Sure, achilas matzah is a chayvah, kiddush is a chayvah, but the brichas hanenin element of that matzah, of that kiddush, is not technically a chayvah. So perhaps it's considered like a brichas hanenin, and I can't do it for your sake. Once I've already made my own, says Rashi on the top line. Brichas halechem shel achilas matzah shemavorchen fnei hamotzi. Shemavorchen hamotzi. So you make a al achilas matzah. That's certainly a brichas hamitzvahs that I could do for you. But the brichas halechem hamotzi. Or brichas hayayin shemavorchen fnei kiddush mao al achilas matzah makadosh Yisrael. Rashi points this out, that the bracha l'chilas matzah or the bracha mekadosh Yisrael, there's no question. They're chayuvim. Chayuv to make kiddush. Chayuv to have matzah. So that bracha is called brichas hamitzvahs, and I could do it for you. Ela brichas hamaitzi. Brichas hayayin miboylach. What about the hamaitzi? The hagafen. That's the shayla. Shein boys, the only reason why you make them is because it's a hanor. El visha mevorach. Tzorach shiyutim. Let's say by kiddush, and the ikur kiddush is not the agafen. But since you're going to make a kiddush on wine, it's not covered. Rashi says in Pesachim to make a kiddush without tasting it, so you're going to taste it as well. So you make a agafen. V'yefshel lahanis b'lo bracha, you can't drink it without a bracha. Inami loytam iu, v'yefshel lo yavle lachad minay lumitam. Or if he's not going to drink it, somebody else will drink it. Uboy bracha, that's why I need a bracha. So my, the question is, how to treat this bracha? Given the chayvah, the experience is a chayvah. Achilas matzah chayvah. V'chin kiddush hayim chayvah. V'yevshe shalei v'hanoh. Fact is, by default, you can't have it without the hanoh. V'hanoh yevshe b'lei bracha. Hanoh can't be without a bracha. So by extension, nimtzis ha-mitzvah tluyi b'brichas hanoh ma'apik. The mitzvah is totally in the brichas hanoh. Let's treat it like a brichas ha-mitzvah. You can be mitzi somebody, even though you yourself already made the bracha. Oy dumo, perhaps not. Let's split the elements here. Brichas hanoh, life chayvah l'mitzvah asya. Technically, brichas hanoh is not a mitzvah-related bracha. Sha'af b'kol hanoh is, hineh hages. Even in a non-mitzvah setting, you make that same bracha for the hanoh. So technically, this bracha is not a brichas hamitzvah. Or no, since it's being grouped together, bundled together with the mitzvah. In this case, the mitzvah can't happen without this bracha. Let's treat it like a brachas hamitzvah. So that's an interesting question. Can I be mitzi or not? Toshma says the Gemara, let's bring a raya from Rav Ashi. Damar Rav Ashi, ki avinan bir Rav Papi. When we were in the home of Rav Papi, have a mekadosh lan. First he made kiddush for us. When his sharecropper shot up from the field, have a mekadosh lu, he would make a kiddush for them. Apparently, that's okay, because brichas hagafen is treated like a brichas hamitzvah in this case. Tanu Rabban, leivers adam prusa la'orchan. So a person shouldn't slice his bread, meaning, and make the brichas hamitzi, which is a brichas hanen. Elim kein oichel iman. Shouldn't do it for his guests unless he's joining them in the meal. You can't make a brichas hamitzvah, a brichas hanenin, for somebody else. Aval purus ulabonov ulbnei beis. But we have an exception. You can slice and make the hamotzi for your children. The lechanchem mitzvahs to teach them the mitzvah, train them. So even though you personally don't need the bracha, but you can do it for their sake. To be mekayim mitzvahs chinuch. Ubahalu b'megila, as opposed to real mitzvahs, halu megila. Aval b'shiyotz hamotzi, even if he already had his halu and megila, can repeat it again with the bracha for somebody who needs to be yaitze. Hadron lach ru'u bezn. So what do we learn so far, until this point? Whoever is chayiv in a davar, in a mitzvah, can be mitzi others. Regarding kavanah to be mitzi, of a machloikis. Who is chayiv in shofar? Kohanim, Levim, Israelim. And gerim, avodim, shachrorim, tumtum, adrognus, and even somebody who is a half-heved, half-benchorim. Regarding being might see somebody else, a tumtum cannot be might see anybody. We don't know what he is, a zachar and a keva. As opposed to androgynous, it could be might see somebody who is an androgynous like him. Either they're both zacharim, so it works, or they're both nakevas, and they're both pot. Chatzi evet cannot be might see others, or even himself, because there's an element of an evet with him. Typically, when it comes to brechas ha-mitzvahs, even if you're already yotze, you can be might see others, because you have to look after him. Kol Yisrael ha-revim zevazeh. That applies to brechas ha-mitzvahs. Not to brechas ha-nenen. One exception for that, ketanim, then you could do it to be mechanech them l'mitzvahs. And the Gemara concludes that a brechas ha-nenen was associated with a mitzvah, is regarded like the mitzvah itself, and you can be might see others. Continues the Mishnah. Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah, shechol yis b'Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. B'Migdash ha'yu token. Tkiya shofar only took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Avalei b'Medina, but not outside the Mikdash. Rashi learns, not even in Yerushalayim, the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnah learns. Lei b'Medina means outside the Mikdash and outside Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim itself was considered like the Mikdash in this regard. That was when the Mikdash was standing. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, after the Churban, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, Sheyu Token B'chol Mokem Sheyesh B'Bezin. They would continue this practice of blowing even on Shabbos, provided you're in the vicinity of a Bezin. They wanted to keep the tradition of blowing even on Shabbos, as long as there's a Bezin. And we treat it like the Mikdash, where they would blow even on Shabbos, as opposed to outside the Mikdash, the Gemara explains it was a chashash of carrying through the street, so there was no blowing on Shabbos. But in the Mikdash, and likewise after the Churban, when there's a Bezin, a full Bezin of Sanhedrin Gedolah, then we blow the shofar. Amar Belezer, lehiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, el biyavne b'vad. Oh, so Belezer holds, yeah, it only applies when it's a Sanhedrin Gedolah, such as the Sanhedrin in Yavne. We'll learn later in the Gemara, the Sanhedrin had 10 Goliaths, traveled 10 times, and one of the stops was Yavne. So that's where we had the Sanhedrin Gedolah, and there we have this allowance to blow on Shabbos. But if it's just a mini Sanhedrin, like 23 Dayanim, this halacha doesn't apply. Amr Loi, the Rabbana responded to Rablezer, don't limit it to Yavne, Echad Yavne. V'echad kol makom sheish by Bezin, it applies to Yavne, or any place where there's a Bezin, even a smaller Bezin of 23 Dayanim. V'oid zois hoysa Yerushalayim yiser al Yavne. The Gemara will explain what the words v'oid zois mean, what are we adding to, but in any case, we find that Yerushalayim had an advantage over Yavne. So Yerushalayim bibinyana, when the Midrash was standing, had an advantage when it comes to Tkiya Shofar, over Yavne. So although in both places they would blow on Shabbos, but there was a ma'ala to Yerushalayim. Shekol Eir Shehi Roya. A city which can, from which you can see Yerushalayim. It's close enough to see. V'sheimas. And can listen in to the Tkiyas happening in Yerushalayim. Ukroivan is close enough within the Tchum B'chol Lovay, which case you can travel from there to Yerushalayim on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Toiken. Just as you blow in Yerushalayim, you blow in the surrounding towns as well. So the heter blowing on Shabbos in Yerushalayim wasn't just limited to Yerushalayim, but was extended to the suburbs as well. U'biyavne lo hayu toiken el bebezin lovat, as opposed to after the Churban, when there was no Yerushalayim, but they would blow in Yavne, that was limited to Yavne, the Makom HaBezin. But outside the Makom HaBezin, there was no allowance to blow. Now, you may ask Akasha, we're saying that not only can you blow in Yerushalayim, but even in the surrounding towns. What do you mean? We just said that the Heter to blow was only in the Mikdash. And Rashi explains, you can't even blow in Yerushalayim. So what does the Mishnah mean? Not only would they blow in Yerushalayim, but even in the suburbs. Ritva says that the Mishnah speaking at that point when the Sanhedrin left the Mikdash and took up position in Yerushalayim itself. That was one of the journeys, one of the stops in the journey. In which case, at that point, the whole Yerushalayim was considered, to a certain extent, like the Mikdash when it comes to blowing the shofar. It was no longer limited to the Mikdash, but the whole Yerushalayim took on the status of Mikdash when it comes to blowing the shofar, because the Sanhedrin was sitting in Yerushalayim. At that point, says the Mishnah, the heter was not only limited to Yerushalayim, but would extend to the surrounding towns as well, as opposed to after the Churban Mikdash, when the Bezdin moved to Yavne, the heter only applied B'makom Bezdin, and that's it. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow. How do we know this? Because one pasuk says, Shabbos and Zichron Tro. Rosh Hashanah is a time of Zichron, a remembrance of blowing. As though we just recite Psukim as a Zikaron, but we don't actually blow. We have another pasuk, Yom Tro Yelachem, the day of blowing. Which one is it? Blowing or no blowing? Like Kashi, the answer is, depends when it is. Can't be Yom Tov Shecholeis b'Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, we just make mention of Terubah, we don't blow. Can't be Yom Tov Shecholeis b'Chol, but if it's during the week, we blow as well. Amar Rava, how can you say it's based on Pesukim? Imi d'Oraisa. He, if it's an Issa d'Oraisa to blow on Shabbos, b'Migdash hechetak inan. Why are we blowing in the Migdash? Pasuk says, don't blow on Shabbos. V'oid, another Kasha. Halav Melacha hi. Blowing a shofar, it doesn't entail a malacha. The itzra krolim uti, the Torah would come and not allow it. The tonad veishmo. Kol malachas avayt lo yisasu. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we refrain from malacha. A malacha is asur. Yatz is a tkiya shofar as opposed to blowing a shofar. Rudiyas apas, or removing bread from an oven. Sheikh chachma, it involves talent. Vein a malacha, but it's not a malacha. It's only asur midir abadon. So why would the Torah prohibit blowing a shofar on Shabbos? Elam arava? With the rice of Mr. Shuri. And I tell you, there's no concern at all. The Rabban who the Gazerbay. The Rabban applied a Gzer. They were concerned, could the Rabbah, Dama Rabbah. Hakol Chayavan Bitkiya Shafer. Really, everybody has to blow a Shafer, as we learned earlier. Vein Hakol Bikin Bitkiya Shafer. But unfortunately, not everybody's an expert in blowing a Shafer. And therefore, there's always a Gzerah. Shema Yitlenu Biyodai Viyelech Eitz Laboki Lomit. Come Shabbos. He's stuck without tkiyos. He just has a shofar. He doesn't know what to do with it. He might grab hold of that shofar and go to the expert to teach him how to blow. V'yavirenu dal damas b'shisurabim, and in the process carried four amos in the street and do an issur. Therefore, say the chachamim, Shabbos we canceled tkiyas shofar. V'ayinu time in the lulav. This is the same reason why we don't shake a lulav on Shabbos. V'ayinu time in the Megillah. Same way we don't read a Megillah on Shabbos, because he might be tempted to carry through the street to take it to the expert. Show him how to shake, show him how to read a Megillah. Oh. But in the Mikdash, we don't apply this Issa de Rabban. Why not? So let me take a look at Rashi, 14 lines from the bottom. He says, Gzeirah Shemitlenu. That applies in a non-Mikdash setting. Ube Mikdash like Gazra. Dein Isra Shvus Rabbanim Mikdash. So Ashi learns, the reason why there's no Isra Rabban in the Mikdash, because Ein Shvus for Mikdash. General rule, we don't apply Isra Rabban in the Mikdash. Then Farshim asks on Rashi, Tari Evan, and others, don't we know that Ein Shvus for Mikdash is not a blank check? More Beit says Mashma like that. It's only to enable Avoida, to facilitate Avoida. But just because you're in a Mikdash, does that mean you put from all Isra Rabban? Of course not. So what does blowing a shofar have to do with the Mikdash? What does it have to do with karbanis? Why would we suspend the Issa de Rabban just because it's in the Mikdash? It appears from Rashi that, yeah, blowing a shofar relates to the Mikdash. In fact, you might remember the Gemara we learned back in the Chavav. The Gemara spoke about not using the horn of a para in Kateganas Sanegar. We don't want to created the current of the eagle. What do you mean? It's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and what's the concern? It's not Bifnim. The Gemara says, Kivun del Zikarnu kulifnim dami. The point of blowing the shofar is to arouse the Zikarn, the good remembrance, the essence, the true entity, the true essence of Yisrael. and that brings about the current connection to Hashem, that's kibiflim dami. Has the same value, same weight, same effect as doing avoida in Kodesh HaKadosh. Oh, so now we can very much understand the chashivas of blowing a shofar in the Mikdash. It's as though he's doing avoida in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and therefore we say ein shvus b'Mikdash, just as we don't say shvus by other carbon and avoida related issues. Continues the Gemara. Mishachar beis hamikdash hiskin Rabbi Yechman zakai to continue the tradition. And at least in the makom of Bezdin, we should continue blowing even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan pamachas chal Rosh Hashanah leis b'Shabbos. So how did this happen? When did the takana get established? It so happens that one time Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and Bezdin at this point was in Yavne. V'hayu kol arim miskansen. And everybody from the surrounding cities gathered together in Yavne. They figured, just like in the time of the Mikdash, there was Shofar, here as well, there's going to be Shofar in Yavne. Amolam Rabban Yochanan Zakkai, he turned to the Livnei Beseira, to the Livnei Beseira with the Gdol HaDor, Rashi says. Niska, should we blow? This is the first time it happened. Should we blow on Shabbos? Amolai, they responded, Nidan, let's sit down and deliberate, let's figure it out. Amar Lahem, so he says, you know what, Nitka, let's first blow Vachach Nida, and then we'll figure it out. This is his way of getting it, moving it forward. He held that you meant to blow. That was his takana. So he says, you know what, let's do it, and then we'll ask questions. Lachash Atoku, after they finished blowing, Amar Lo Nida, okay, so he said, okay, let's sit down and figure it out. Was it right, was it wrong? Let's figure out what to do in the coming years. Amar Lahem, so he told him, look, too late. Kvar Nishma Karen B'Yavna. The horn, the sound of the horn was already heard in Yavna, meaning it's done. Vein lachamasa, vein mashiv lachamasa. It's inappropriate to go question what we did. Rashi says it's a gnai to be moitzi laz that perhaps they did something wrong. The halacha was done wrong. So once it's done, it's done. So that was his way of getting it going. Right? They had a shaila whether the halacha of the gzeira shema might carry through the street applies in the makam bezn or not. And he says no, let's just do it because he held in the makam of bezn. Apparently, it's Bezdin is going to look after it, and there's no concern of any carry through the street. The Shluchi Bezdin would be the ones to be taken care of in any case. So the Yelucha Drabban doesn't apply. Let's just continue the tradition that we have in the Mikdash. Let's blow even on Shabbos. And let's just do it. And then once it was done, it was established, let's not question it anymore. And this is how the Takana got established. Going forward, they would blow whenever there was a Bezdin. They would blow even on Shabbos. Amar Belezer, Lehiskin, Rechman Zankai, El B'Yavn Belvad. Lez maintains, this was a special exemption for Yavne, where the Iker Sanhedrin was. Amru loy, but the Chacham respond, Echad Yavne, v'echad kol makam sheish bebezn, not only when you have the large, full Sanhedrin, full session, but even a small bezn, like a 23 bezn, would also allow blowing on Shabbos. Now, Amru loy, hanu Tanakama, this response, Amru loy, is exactly a carbon copy of a Tanakama, who also says, whenever there's a bezn, we blow. Tanakama quotes Rabbi Yechman Zakei, "Shu toikim b'chol mokim sheish bebezin." Not only in the Sanhedrin Gedola. Rabbi Lezer responds, "Not only in Yavne." Amr Loi, they responded to him, "No, anywhere, wherever there's a bezin." Well, Amr Loi, Tanakama, isn't he repeating Tanakama? Why do we have it as a third shita? Is it a third shita? It could be. Now there is a slight difference between Tanakama and the Amr Loi. Beidino da kroy. We have a bezin which is not really a permanent in place. It's in transit, roving bezdin. So according to Tanakama, it still allows tkia. He says, any place we have a bezdin, you have to have a bezdin here. They'll look after it, and that allows the tkia. Whereas Reb Lezer said, Dafka Sanhedrin Gedola, and the Amr Loi tell Reb Lezer, no. Whether it's Yavne, which is an established Sanhedrin Gedola, or other bezdins, which are established as well. Oh, so it's been established bezdin, a makam, a bezdin kavua, just like Yavne. So although it's a smaller bezin, but it's an established bezin, it's a makam bezin, and the Issa Rabban doesn't apply in that case. But if it's just a roving bezin in transit, we don't make exception for that. That's not part of the takana. Chacham did not want to make so many different variations of their halacha. If it's a makam bezin, fine. But otherwise, there's no heter. So conclusion, we've got a yomtiv that falls out on Shabbos. An individual doesn't blow. In the Mikdash, they would blow. Why doesn't a yachid blow gzera they might carry through the street? In the Mikdash, we don't have shvus b'Mikdash. After the churban, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, through that whole story, was successful in establishing the takana to continue blowing in a makom abezin. Now, according to Rabbi Lezer, Dafka in a makom of Sanhedrin of Shivim Ve'echad, the grand Sanhedrin, whereas according to Tanakama, any bezin suffices. Even if it's not a bezin kavua, that's okay. According to the Amrulai, it's Dafka bezin kavua, even though it's a small size bezin. Okay, what did we learn today? We started with the story of Reb Zero tells his shamash, when you blow for me, have kavana to be meitzimi. He holds that you have to have kavana, if they have the person in mind. The more concluded, actually it's machlekes tanaim, whether or not you have to specifically have your listener in mind, but all agree that by shliach tzibur, it's automatically, it's built into the system that he has anybody in mind. We learned how kavana can impact the situation. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands upward would inspire Yisrael and would result in them strengthening themselves in that war against Amalek, in that spiritual war which manifests itself in a physical form as well. And likewise, when you look upward and you mishabed yourself to Hashem, you relieve of the effect of the nechashim, and likewise, all physical phenomena can't harm a person. You're fully in the hands of Hashem. Typically, everybody is chayv and tkiya shofar, except for the nashim and the avadim, of course, because they're pata and mitzvah seish as man grama. What about being mitzi somebody else? So the concept is, if you're chayv, you can mitzi somebody else, as opposed to cheru shaita v'katan, they can't be mitzi others. What about a tumtum, who's really a suffix zachar and a keva, he can't be mitzi anybody. An androgynous can be mitzi another androgynous, because they're either both zachar and both nekevis. A chatzi eved chatzi ben chayrin, who has an element of avdus within him, can't be moitzi anybody, even himself, because he has an element of chayrus within him, which needs to hear from a parach yuva. When it comes to berachas mitzvahs, even if you're already yoitzi, you can be moitzi somebody else. Berachas hanenin, no, except for the ketanim. A berachas hanenin associated with a mitzvah, yes. Chacham concerned about carrying on Shabbos, therefore you're not meant to blow the shofar on Shabbos. In the Midrash, they allowed it, and likewise, in the Makom of Bezdin. All the best to you, and much atzlacha.